This is the American Forces Vietnam Network.
Hardcore military.
Good morning.
Vietnam was going to be very different from the United States of America. Except for all the beer cans and the barbecue, it was.
All right, episode number 64 on the Broken Arrow Events podcast. I'm Liam.
And I'm Ferrucci.
All right, so we have a few things to talk about. It should be a quick podcast for the buildup of the two-hour special podcast. Whatever we call it.
It's a two-hour special.
The main podcast, two-hour special, come correct.
Podcast.
Something like that. Whatever. Yes. Whatever it is. That's going to happen in June sometime. But this is kind of a build-up to that and just a reminder for all of our events. So let's start with the next one we have is FTX. It's going to be actually this weekend. There's kind of time to sign up. So if you're thinking about it, it's still $40. It's a cheap event because it doesn't really cost as much to produce. But it does include C-Rats and a compass. So if you're interested in that, check it out on the website. On Facebook. That's July 1st to the 2nd up in the Catskills of New York. Next event after that is Doc Toe, Operation MacArthur, back at Tolcom. That's going to be June 20th to the 23rd. It'll be a Rucks-only event, basically pitting the 173rd against the NVA in the Central Highlands of Vietnam. If anybody knows the history behind Doc Toe, it was around Thanksgiving 1967 where the 173rd took heavy losses, and it kind of was the first time that the 173rd was truly tested against the NVA for their tenure in Vietnam. They mostly fought the Viet Cong before that. So it's something that we want to revisit because we've actually touched on it in our second event. Our second event was actually Operation MacArthur. Oh my God, almost 6 years ago. Over 6 years ago at this point. But we're back at Tolcom. I think the general gist is that everyone's excited to be back there. Tickets are, I think, $125. Still on sale. They'll be going up in June. So guys, if you're thinking about going, please register. And we'll have an awesome time. It's going to be basically 3 days of patrolling on the eastern side of Tolcom. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, that's the side with the gorge and the cliffs and the 45-degree angle hills that we'll be fighting up.
Well, either way, it's exciting to be back there. It's essentially our roots of where we play.
Yep.
And the fact that we're going to be on the eastern side again, you know, just adds more because we're going to create more memories down there anyway.
Hell yeah.
And, like, you know, whether it's being, you know, using the goat trails or fighting on the riverbed, either way, you know something's gonna go down, and it's like I've told you many a times. I mean, nothing in my mind beats, first year going down there in 2019. Well, my first year in 2019, you know, when your brother and I, put up those logs to set up that bunker right around the riverbed. Which to me is still the fondest memory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just being able, you know, especially when it was downpouring on us, even though it did catch some of us off guard. It was still exciting to just be down there and really feel like, you know, we're isolated. We're down in this hill. And we couldn't even get our radios to work.
No.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep. No, we had to set up a relay eventually.
We had a separate relay, and then also we had to walk up that hill.
Yep. Yep. Up and down that hill. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's June 20th to the 23rd. So just real quick, we'll talk about this again before the event. But you show up Thursday. Thursday is kind of like a hangout day. Show up early. And then Friday day, we're out and we're not coming back until Sunday. So if that's something you're looking for, this is the event for you. There's no base. It's very... I hate to say no frills, but it's more focused on the patrolling and the fighting that compared to other events where we do almost everything. Like the August event is basically like you have the patrolling, you have the Rons, you're in the shit, but also at the same time you're having that base life. So right. this is not going to be that. This is going to be straight up
a little bit larger Mike Force event, essentially.
Yeah.
Minus wearing the tiger stripes. You're going to wear, you know, your regular uniforms, whether or not it's patched or sterile. And then you just live off of what you put into your rucksack. I mean, it doesn't get any more straightforward than that. And like I said, once again, still going to be an exciting time. And, you know, especially going back into the mountains of Tolland. And like I said, even for the Pavin, to, you know, for those who are familiar with that area, they, you know, they're going to go back to their favorite spots. And, you know, I'll be looking towards trying to find the fishing lines, you know, for the you know, traps that they're going to set up, or, you know, where we're going to, you know, set up for our Ron, you know, for our LPOP. And yeah, so I'm, like I said, I'm super stoked. Can't wait to go back. And, you know, like I said, especially see all you folks out there that are also, you know, stoked to, you know, go back to Tolland, because that's just such an excellent field to play on.
Hell yeah. Okay, yeah. So then moving on.
Yeah.
The big event of the year and the summer for us is Benhead 70, and that's going to be in Warwick, New York, at the Warwick Conference Center. First time using that venue, and we've scouted a few times, and it looks like it's shaping up to be at least one of our most unique events, but if not, I think it's shaping up to be one of our best events we've ever done, just on the property alone. We've already been planning out the base. We have a camp set up. It's going to have full 360 perimeter that can be attacked. And, you know, we'll go over the rules regarding that and you know, what's allowed and what's not allowed. But it centers around Benhet, which was a civilian irregular defense group camp led by an A-team, an A-detachment of Special Forces. So attendees will be, if they're going on for the Benhet side, the Benhet camp side, they'll be the SIGI force, and the Pavin would be most likely NVA. I want to touch on a little bit of what the SIGI are, the Civilian Irregular Defense Group. So the event is July 27th to August 4th. It's about 9 days, 10 days, depending how you look at it. And we'll be there the whole time. If anyone's been to our events the first day, it's a good time. We have activities planned for each day to entertain all of you guys. But there's also a lot of work that needs to be done. And it's kind of an all hands on deck atmosphere, because there's a lot to do to get the event going, but also for our own experiences. So they're like good guys who like come and they dig holes, help put up tents, help go on supply runs. So there's a lot to do. And I think we can't express it more, but like the importance of showing up. I don't even want to say it's early at this point. It's like showing up on time. I mean, right. Obviously, if all you can do is the Thursday to Sunday, fine, sure, okay. But if you want that full experience that we offer, showing up that Saturday is where it's at.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll touch more on that on the big podcast.
Yes.
But let's talk about what the SIGI force is, so guys aren't confused what it is. I think there's a little bit of confusion what it is, or people just don't know where to look for information regarding it. So the SIGI program is pronounced C-I-D-G, right? SIGI, right? But it's pronounced S-I-D-G-E-E. Like the phonetic way to say it. It's an acronym for Civilian Irregular Defense Group. So it was developed by the CIA in the early 60s. I want to say, hang on, I'll get my notes. In the early 1961, it was devised by the CIA. And it was to counter the expanding Viet Cong influence in the Central Highlands of Vietnam. It was the camps were still overseen by 8 detachments of the Special Forces. And the Special Forces would focus on local defense, civic action, and then training the locals, which was like a 2-week program. By 1963, MACV called for Operation Switchback, which basically transferred control from the CIA to the Military Assistance Command, Vietnam, MACV. And This also coincided with the Special Forces, pulling out all their other units and leaving the 5th Special Forces as its command in Vietnam. So basically, what else here? Special Forces would control the pay, the rations, the supplies, the operational funds to prevent corruption and siphoning of funds or resources from the Arvin officers and whatnot. During this time, CG became more of a conventional force by taking part in operations just like border surveillance and other larger scale patrols and battles. So in 1967 and through to 1968, four major changes happened. Vietnamization became a thing where the 5th Special Forces began preparations for disengagement and helped usher CG members to become part of the Army of the Republic of Vietnam. So this included the closure, conversion, or turnover of the CG camps to full Arvin Special Forces control. There was a great emphasis given to the CG soldier to keep motivation in fighting. CG units were transferred to Arvin, so their payroll and their benefits were transferred over, and they were treated as citizens of Vietnam. Before that, the Montagnards and all the indigenous peoples, they were almost like third class citizens, you know, in that regard. The intention was increasing Vietnamese participation. After the Tet Offensive, the CG use did expand even further during conventional operations, along with U.S. and Free World forces. They were successful in defending urban centers, which they weren't really used before that.
Right.
And, you know, I think it was just like a national emergency where you know, when the Tet Offensive happened,
right,
all these troops that they wouldn't expect to use for these city centers, they were really thinking by surprise, like, okay, who do we have available? Okay, there's an A camp here. All right, take this CG force and put them into this town and help secure it. So they were seen as more reliable.
Yes.
Okay. And then lastly, the last major change was to counter the increasing enemy firepower, and in recognition to the value of the CG forces, U.S. MACV approved the Weapons Modernization Program in April 1968, under which CG troops were equipped with M16 rifles, M60 machine guns, and M79 grenade launchers. So the program was completed by January 1969. So that's an important thing to emphasize for us with our impression is that we call for all the CG attendees to have their M16s.
Yes.
And it was kind of a choice that we made twofold because A, every guy should have an M16 for their 173rd impression.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And this, it was just an easy transfer to go, okay, we don't have to have guys get their BARs and their
carbines.
They can have all streamlined M16 done.
Exactly.
You're already there. So that was a conscious decision that we made for the impression guide, and it's probably something we'll do in the future too. Like, we won't do anything pre-1969 for CG forces.
Right.
All right. So now in 1970, which was the stand down period for the CG program, that's our timeline. We're doing September 1970. So that's late. That's late, right? Okay. So the goal of MACV for that time was to transfer control to all remaining CG camps to Arvin Command by January 1st, 1971. The final number of 37 camps was converted to Ranger units for border surveillance. Arvin's Special Forces became command of the units for fluid conversion processing. All right, so our backstory is that the Special Forces contingent that's there, the Detachment A244, they were basically ushering in their counterparts, the Arvin Special Forces, and they were pulling out.
Yep.
So that's like our story. Is like, all right, the Special Forces group there is like kind of training the last of the troops there, and then they're moving.
Right.
They're moving off. For their allegiance, as expressed by their willingness to join the Arvin units, the government provided legal birth and marriage certificates, as well as medical benefits and disability pay for injuries received in military actions. This was the first time that the minority groups, and particularly the Montagnards, were given full status as citizens of South Vietnam. As we all know, that didn't really last that long because...
Unfortunately...
5 years, yeah. And
not even... Yeah. A little under four. And it almost seemed like it was too little too late to support the CIGI forces, especially when they were treated so poorly, especially under the Arvin command.
Right, and that was the thing. The thing, too, is they took in the Americans. They loved them. They loved the Americans. They loved what they stood for and what they provided. And they weren't fans of the Arvin or the South Vietnamese.
Yeah.
But they didn't like the North Vietnamese either. So it was kind of like, all right, what's the lesser of two
evils? Well, that's the unfortunate thing. Arvins were such a... just that branch itself was so heavily corrupted anyway.
Yeah.
For one reason or another. And they weren't going to properly train the CIGI forces. And that's unfortunate because the CIGI forces were good fighters.
Yeah, yeah.
But they just didn't get the proper pay and the,
Actually.
They got paid better.
The CIGI were paid better.
Yes.
They were paid better by the Arvin. So when the CIGI and the Arvin forces were consolidated into one force, it actually gave the Arvin a raise in pay to match that. Because they weren't going to go in and cut the pay of the CIGI guys, the Montagnards. So they're like, okay, we got to raise the pay of the Arvin. So that's really what happened there. excuse me. The ranking system for the CIGI pre 68-69, what they followed the French structure, and then by our timeline they actually just became the same as the Arvin. So they had the same ranking. There was nothing higher than a lieutenant for the CIGI program.
Yep.
As far as the U.S. was in charge of that. For our purposes this year, I know we have a very loose ranking system that we kind of follow based on the role. It'll be interchangeable with what your 173rd rank was to the CIGI one. So that's not anything you have to worry about. There's no, you don't need any insignia. You don't need any patches on your uniforms.
Just be sterile.
So sterile tigers or sterile greens. Doesn't matter. Okay, what else do I have here that I can talk about? And then honestly, I'll go over this class. This will be a course at the event on one of the days. This is something that we went over at FIT.
Yep.
I thought it was pretty. Gave some insight to like what we're doing while we're there.
Right.
So I think guys took something out of it.
Oh, for sure.
I know, like, even people who like aren't familiar with like how the special forces structure is. We'll talk about that. I'm not going to talk about that now on this.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit different than what conventional units were. So it's a story for another day.
Well, yeah. Either way, it's just how, like I said, even jumping back to the whole Ben Head, how we're gonna set up base camp. Just the whole event itself, just tying it all back in together. So it's gonna be a whole different, unique experience.
I think so.
I mean, especially when we talked about how we're gonna set up the base. I think that's awesome that we're gonna be in the middle of a field, and we're gonna be surrounded by brush everywhere. And the fact that we're in play, so the NVA could get us whenever they want to. And I know we've been kind of spoiled to last 5 years. Even the first year, I know it was at MacArthur first year.
This is our seventh year doing.
No, Junction Safe was the first, but Junction Safe was in play in Junction City.
No, we'd had the Ron, the NDP.
That's right.
If you think about it that way, it's not much different than what we've done in that sense, right? We've always had a position where the GIs were at. This time it's going to be a little different because we'll have hopefully better prepared positions for the NVA to attack. But. Yeah. Same time, like, we have to be a little more tactical with defending the camp and I just think it's giving the Pavin something else to work out and plan as their own objectives, but also like now it's just like for the CIGI guys, they can't just like sit at camp and jerk off. They have to actually like have a fire watch, have a rotation. We will do shorter patrols, so there'll be more, but shorter patrols around the perimeter of the camp, just, you know, defensively patrolling to either prevent infiltration.
Or have
a presence out there. So I just look at it as like it's something new that we haven't done before. And if you guys listen to other previous podcasts, I said from the get-go, I want to try something new. As my dad used to always say, Liam tries to innovate every year and do something different. So here's the innovation.
Well, it's going to be exciting once we put up, you know, our barbed wire fences per se and digging in those MG nests. It's going to be awesome because we're going to truly feel like we're isolated. There's no, you know, we're not going to feel like we're protect. You know, I mean, I understand things. It's still reenactment slash game, but we're still not, you know, but like I said, we kind of have our feet to the fire on this. You know, we can't just slack off and be like, well, base is on play this year. No, they can come after right. you at like right. 2 a.m. and, you know, hunt us down. So I like feeling that because it gives you that extra edge in the game, because if you're going to be that, you know, prepared, you know, you might as well, you know, treat it, you know, go a little bit farther and treat it like the real deal necessarily. And, you know, like I said, and we do it as authentically as possible. And this will definitely be that event, you know, for those who did go and experience it. They'll never forget it for years to come. And like I said, you know, maybe if it, you know, works out the way it should, then like I said, we might do it more often, you know.
Yeah, I'll say this. I mean, here's a teaser for next year. We're definitely doing 173rd again, and hopefully it's at that venue. But I wouldn't be opposed to doing another, if we had the interest to do another one, to just do two larger events. So, you know, this is kind of a trial run this year, Ben Hett, to see if we can do another A-camp style event and the big Firebase 173rd event in the same year. I honestly, with all that's going behind this event alone and how the big August event goes, I don't see it. Especially, I think the guys need to put their money where their mouth is in the sense of like signing up and registering. And I don't know. I don't see it happening. I think it's going to be one big event, but I would love to have two big events like this. Have this the A camp event early and then do the big August event as the 174.
Right.
That'd be awesome. But right now, I mean, this event's shaping up to be, you know, we talked about it in the talk earlier.
Yes.
And probably earlier in this podcast, but I'm really thinking this is going to be one of the best events we've done. Just the whole atmosphere of it, I think it's going to be awesome. The venue alone, the camp, everything going into it is going to be awesome. And, you know, what I kind of like about it is a lot of things are kind of falling into play automatically because we've been doing it for so long at this point. And it kind of gives us more focus on the new things we want to do.
Well, I know we're talking about Faraz GIs, but I'm definitely most excited for the Pavin with now that they have all this land to use.
Yeah, 450 acres.
And you know what? Look, I know I can't speak for them or anything, but, you know, I know they have plenty of, you know, equipment and gear to bring themselves, but it'd be pretty awesome if they were able to just, you know, treat, you know, be like the NVA, just put up a minor camp, and then they were able to like move it.
Yeah.
And they could be that to me would be fascinating. Now, I obviously, like I said, I don't know how they would play necessarily because I know that's a lot to handle, but that would still be a lot of fun. You know, really add to the cat and mouse nature.
I just wonder, you know, I when I scouted the field with Boylan, we talked about what their camp life would be, if they're even going to have it. And it's still kind of undecided yet. I think we got to buckle down with the cadre and figure out what they want to do. But they're going to have to bring in a lot of supplies. There are a few like high-speed trails that they could use. Mm-hmm. And I think they need to coordinate a little more this year than last year, where their camp is like right off the road, right? Like, and just kind of park their cars. This isn't like they're gonna have to like kind of like caravan, not caravan. What do you call that when you like the Ho Chi Minh Trail? They had a whole bunch of guys and like hauling shit.
Well, you're gonna have
almost like a train of guys.
Yeah, you're gonna have, you know, I was gonna say almost like a little mini Ho Chi Minh Trail necessarily.
Pretty much, yeah.
you're going to have to, I mean, like I said, I know we're gonna have our work cut out ourselves, but they're able to, you know, have some push, you know, some carts that they can throw their stuff on and just carry it back and forth and just almost like a mini convoy necessarily to, yep. you know, yep. get the necessary supplies up there. I mean, like I said, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully they can find a good spot. And like I said, that could be sustainable for their attacks. And just, you know, if we don't find them, no big deal. Or if it's out of play, I don't really care, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the thing, too. We weren't sure if we wanted them in play or not. It's something that we're still going to talk about. We've had the Kent in play in the past, and it kind of, like, didn't work out the best. I know they kind of want a place to rest. And just, like, to touch on the point you made about the camp, there will be times when the camp is out of play to kind of give the GIs rest.
Yes.
As a grunt, you know, the CG and the Special Forces rest. But yeah, for the most part, it'll be in play at specific times and certain times, and it'll be a risk for the CG camp. But if we do something similar to the NVA camp, sure, we'll have to figure that out. It's not written down anywhere yet. We don't have anything set in stone, so we're trying to figure that out still. But just to move on to the next thing, which
yeah.
really don't have much else to talk about. Because it's really just, we worked on a few commercials today.
Yep.
We worked on a Talk, and then we really all are going to do the 2-hour special podcast in June, and we're actually going to film the Come Correct rules this weekend at FTX, which I'm excited for.
Yeah.
FTX is really going to be cool. Basic map reading skills and navigation. And it's basically going to be a 1960s-themed camping trip, hiking
yeah.
trip.
Which, that would be really neat.
Yeah. We'll be bushwhacking and all that good stuff. That's going to be a cool event. I'm excited for this weekend.
You going to bring your machete?
I don't know yet. I don't know. you probably don't need it, but the woods are pretty nice. They're pretty open. So, but yeah, with that, I mean, I got nothing else, guys. So thanks for listening. Stay tuned for all the other shit that we have coming up down the pike here. So until next time, guys, take care.
All right, till next time, folks. Signing off.